It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. God is so good, friends. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:24 and Psalms 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My lovely wife I dreamed of will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Heavenly, loving, kind Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together and to worship. We ask that your Spirit will teach us the things we need to know this morning as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your Spirit. Help us always, Lord, to grow in grace and in wisdom and to be ready for your soon return. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time.
It's a
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we travel down the road of first day scriptures and long sermons, we pray for your spirit. We thank you for all you've done for us on this Thursday, June 1st. We pray that you be with us and help us to commune with you, and that it will be a day full of rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 20. Our title is Sunday, or really First Day Scriptures and Long Sermons. First Day Scriptures and Long Sermons. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 1, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia." Brothers and sisters, this is very sad, but the people that used to be the chosen people of God were trying to murder the new church leaders that Jesus had chosen. Understand this one thing: if you stand for truth, there will be persecution, and the persecution will come from the church. Okay? That's just how it is. It's unfortunate, but it will come from the church. Maybe the church you're in, brothers and sisters, and there's no perfect church, but the point being made is you want to make sure that you're not being a persecutor, one who is trying to hurt other people in the faith. All right, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, a lot of people will say that this is a scripture that shows that the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The Bible didn't say they came for worship. It says they came to break bread. This was a dinner, and Paul spoke at the dinner. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Brothers and sisters, there was much preaching. There was much teaching. It was an infantile church. The church was in its infant stages. So if they can get some word on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, I mean, whenever Paul and the apostles came into town, they just met on a regular basis. Now, this could actually have been a Saturday night, actually, because the Bible says the evening and the morning was the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day. So the biblical day begins at sunset, okay? The Bible says, and at even, that means at evening, when the sun did set. That's why we understand that the Sabbath begins at sunset on Friday, and then it ends at sunset on Saturday. So this could have been an evening meal together on Saturday night, and then it says Paul preached until midnight, ready to leave on the morrow. We don't know. And even if it was a Sunday evening, brothers and sisters, where they came to break bread, most likely it wasn't Sunday morning. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. My brothers and sisters, do you know that God tells us what the apostles did, but it didn't say that everything that the apostles did was best. It is not best to have long sermons. It's just not best. The mind can't retain. It might be good. You might say, wow, it's just good information. But after it's gone, it didn't always lodge deep into the mind and make the right impression. So we really, half an hour, 45 minutes, we really shouldn't have long sermons, my brothers and sisters. Paul was long preaching, and the young man fell asleep and fell dead out of the window. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and take and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, but so he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Coas. The next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigolium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail to Ephesus because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, they were witnessing. They were sharing the gospel. Even though the Jews had rejected, there were still faithful people that were coming and needed to hear the gospel. So this is not a statement that says we're supposed to still keep the feast. It's just not. They did it. But the Bible is very clear that it is not required in Colossians chapter 2. So, and they were going to do it at a place where pretty much God had walked away from. Okay, so that's just a point to say that even shows you that much more, because the probation of the Jews had ended. So when they were going to Jerusalem, there was nothing special about the earthly Jerusalem anymore. All right, it says, And when they were come to him and said, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. You know, I want to draw a contrast to the popular preachers of today. The preachers of the Bible, they had a humility of mind. That means that they were just humble. They were workers. They were meeting with the people, traveling. They didn't just stand aloft with an entourage, you know, away from the people. That's not how they operated. They knew that people were trying to kill them, and they just prayed and they sought God for protection. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. You see that, brothers and sisters? They went into people's houses. How many preachers today will go into your house and teach you, brothers and sisters? That's how they did it in the Bible, and that's how we should do it today. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, it says Spirit, and that word Spirit is not capitalized. There is questions that many have as to whether or not this was necessarily God compelling Paul. You see, Paul just had this burden. Sometimes we can have a burden for people, but we need to always say, Lord, do you want me to go? Because some places Paul went, God didn't necessarily have him go. We know that there were some things he did that just aren't required in the Word of God. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So God had somehow impressed him that his time was short and that he would not see these people. So he wanted to let them know. That happens sometimes, brothers and sisters. When you are connected to God, he gives you clues that your time is to end soon on this earth. And many people in the Bible knew, like Moses knew when he was going to die, that he was going up into the mountain, that he wasn't coming back to the people. He accepted that from God. God often does that, lets the people of God know when they're when their race is finished, so to speak. So they have proper time to say goodbye and prepare and encourage people and bless the children and so on and so forth. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Brothers and sisters, many pastors are grievous wolves. Many preachers, many evangelists are grievous wolves. They're not focused on making sure you are saved and that you know what is truth. And so you have to be very careful who you listen to and what you hear and make sure it lines up with Scripture, because the Bible says grievous wolves will come in. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. See, once we teach the truth, all we can do is leave the people in the hands of God. God is able to keep his people. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Now, Paul chose not to receive tithe and offering. He did not in any way teach that it was wrong to receive tithe and offering. He just knew that he didn't want anybody to say that, because he was a powerful preacher, that he was doing it for filthy lucre. So he chose to labor at the craft of a tent maker and make funds that way. Not to say that there was never any gifts, but the bottom line is he did not receive a quote-unquote salary from the people. And he was able to tell them, you can't say that I tried to do what I do for money, because I work with my own hands and supported myself. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. You know, there are some disappointing moments. There are some goodbyes. But it's really see you later to God's people. You know, some will go to sleep in Jesus, and we will see them on resurrection morning. And we just have to accept that, brothers and sisters, but we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is our presentation from Acts 20 on First Day Scriptures and Long Sermons. Before I end, I want to give you another verse in the Bible. Remember, this is that says the first day of the week, they came to eat, to break bread, and in that time, Paul preached. That is not to say we should not keep the Sabbath and we should start keeping Sunday. It's not there. I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay? So, my brothers and sisters, you know how we take time in the service to take up the offering? That's not actually biblical. People were to hold, when the Sabbath is over, that's the first day of the week. As you made money, you just stored it. You just kept it. And then there was a way that you could distribute it. So when I pastored churches, we had a box, front or back of the church. And after the service, people could put their offering in a box. We didn't take time to interfere with the service with a taking up of tithe and offering. And that was just one less preliminary that we had to deal with. That is the more biblical way of doing it. I'm not saying it's a sin to take up the offering, but the example that we got was from Paul was that they were encouraged to hold on to it And of course, God had to provide a way. But it was that when they gathered, there would not necessarily be an interruption of the service to pay people's tithe and offering. So, you know, sometimes they can be distractions. You hear people begging for money. And, you know, I've had it seen where they had it counted immediately and said, that's not enough. And tried to manipulate the people and tell them you need to give more to the Lord and so on and so forth. So anyway, that's an interesting concept. But the Lord is good, brothers and sisters. It's time now for us to transition to the wellness segment of our broadcast, and we do so with the Torso song. Father, be with us as we now transition to wellness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my friends, the next song you will hear is the Torso song. It's an 8-minute intermission. We'll be back to talk about eating in between meals.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, and you on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about eating between meals and why we shouldn't eat in between meals. You know, every part of your body needs rest. Even your heart that doesn't stop beating, it rests. It rests in between beats. And when your heart is beating at a high rate, that's not good for you because you don't get a chance for it to rest in between beats adequately. And so all of our body needs rest. Our mind needs rest. That's why people are going crazy these days. That's why drugs are so bad, because it just races your mind. The mind never gets rest, and so it becomes ill, and then people have issues like schizophrenia and other types of things. My brothers and sisters, the stomach needs rest, and when we eat a meal, we should wait 4 to 5 hours before eating another meal. We only really need 2 meals a day unless we're doing heavy physical labor. Not that it's a sin to eat a third meal, but some of us eat 1 meal a day all day long, and that's our meal. We're just always snacking on chips, candy, peanuts, gum, whatever, and the stomach never gets rest. As a result, it's going to cry out eventually, my brothers and sisters. Nature bears much abuse, but eventually she will cry out. That crying out might be in the form of stomach cancer, might be in the form of acid reflux, gastritis, ulcers, those types of things, because it's not getting rest, and eventually it gets worn down. So I highly recommend that we just follow God's plan. Let's eat 2 meals a day, 3 at the most, and wait 4 to 5 hours in between. Don't snack in between meals, and you'll find that your stomach will love you. All right, my friend, it's time now to open the phone line. You can press *6 if you'd like to share anything. And we'll start with roll call. We have on Facebook, we have South Carolina. I'm not sure where my brother Carl is. God bless you, brother. I know we've got Peyton in North Carolina. He says good morning to all. And we've got Sister Vicky in Georgia. On the call, we have... Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, again, we have Ohio, we have Iowa. Well, actually, no, that would be in Alaska at this present time. We have Georgia. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have Sister Leilani on the line, and we'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani. Good morning. Say that again, please. Okay, maybe you didn't intend to press *6. Are you okay? Okay, we'll just go ahead and clear that. Let's keep her in prayer. I don't know if that was just that she fell asleep a little bit, because, folks, it is 4 hours before the time in Alaska. But anyway, we just will have to check her out afterwards. Sounds like she might have fallen asleep a little bit. All right, is there anybody else that would like to share anything on the broadcast? All right, we've got Sister Donna on the call. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning. Good morning to you and Maria and everyone on the line. What you said in your message earlier today about them collecting tithes and donations, doing services not biblical. Would you be able to expound on that maybe in another session to give us some backup for it?
Let me clarify. I'm not saying it's a sin. It's just that Paul it was encouraging them. A lot of people use that scripture as a scripture that says we should keep Sunday, but it's actually a scripture to say, let's gather all our funds together starting on Sunday so we don't have to interrupt the service on Sabbath to collect that. That's what that was saying. So I think the biblical principle is there, but I wouldn't personally go as far as saying it would be a sin to take up an offering. I don't think we have enough from the Bible to call it a sin, okay? But I will just simply say that when I am pastoring, generally, I have encouraged that the church just have a box, and when they leave the service or in between Sabbath school and church, you can just drop your tithe and offering there in that box. It just doesn't interrupt the service. It's not really necessary for us to interrupt the service to say, let's collect our tithe and offering. People should know, and they can be still told, friends, we appreciate the support of, you know, the church. There's a box at the back where you can put your tithe and offering, so on and so forth. But it really doesn't need to interrupt the service or be a part of the service. There's nothing holy about you putting your money in a box or in a bag or in a tray you know, and sometimes that can be a challenge. It's just a distraction when you really think about it. If you brought it in a check, if you brought it in cash, it could be put in a box.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't have any more to expound beyond that.
Okay. All right. And then I wanted to just make a comment on the eating between meals, because
yes,
that is one of my problems. I do. But what I found out was that the 2-meal-a-day plan can work, but it takes planning, and it takes just a purposing in your heart, first of all, to live according to the health laws, you know, to apply them to your life. And what worked for me was to, first of all, properly plan the times for my meals. Now, the first meal, of course, is breakfast, and it shouldn't be skipped. Then what I found out was if I place the second meal somewhere around 2 o'clock, maybe somewhere between 1 and 2, because breakfast is usually at like 7 or 8, so that's enough time in between the meals. And then, like you said, let the meal involve a large salad, but that can't be all, you know what I'm saying? But then the real key to my success in that was to be sure that I went to bed on time, at a decent time. Because what I found out was if I stayed up past 8:30 or 9, and which I know that's early for a lot of people, but the bottom line is, I would begin to get hungry again because of the time between bedtime and my last meal. And the body, as long as it's woke, the body, as long as you're awake, requires food every so often.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? We feel like, you know, we're hungry anyway.
Say that again.
I said, or we at least feel like it does. We kind of feel like we want to eat something after about 4 or 5 hours. But, you know, we really only need to. Now, you know, again, I'm not anybody's judge, and I'm not your standard. The Lord is the standard. I'm not saying I never eat 3 meals. But if I do, it's usually when, you know, we've had. Now, sometimes we might eat something very, very light for a reason or something of that nature, and so we might eat a third meal in the evening. And it's usually something light. Definitely if I'm working very heavily outside. I mean, we did a lot of work yesterday. I was just reflecting with my wife. I had to use the weed eater, the brush cutter, the blower, and the pressure washer all in one day here just to get the job done that needed to be done. And so I was tired. Now, when I came in, I was more needing fluids than I needed food. But I did get lots of fluids. But yes, your counsel is very wise counsel, sis, that, you know, hey, sometimes just go to bed. Sometimes when we think we're hungry, we're really thirsty, drink some water or some juice or something of that nature. But I love the fact that you were talking about how you were basically saying in so many words, all of it works together. You've got to get to bed on time. You've got to, you know, that'll help you with your meals and meal plan. So you have to follow all the laws, and it will help you. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Okay. And then, well, I wanted to ask you, because I've been trying to also get some of my family members, my daughters, to try to adopt that lifestyle as well. So what the big problem with them seems to be is the fact that they don't go to bed early. So when they feel like they're hungry, what's good? Because I know, you know, a lot of things you shouldn't eat late at night. Sweets will spike your sugar and cause you to wake up in the middle of the night and stuff like that. So what would be good? Because it has to be, I've been telling them warm and liquidy, like maybe some thin oatmeal or something. But what would you suggest late at night when they're getting hungry and it's past 6 or 7?
I've always generally recommended in situations like that, not that we recommend people do that, but like you said, good, you didn't say it, but good, better, best, don't let it rest till your good gets better, your better, best. Everybody's not there yet.
Amen.
So you're trying to say basically what's the least harmful, you know. I've always encouraged people to eat like fruit, popcorn, maybe there's this something called Zweibach. It's basically twice baked. You can actually put your, you can buy it or you can put it, your bread in an oven and on a low setting, and it'll just dry it out basically so it kind of snaps like a crusher. Those things digest quickly. When I say popcorn, I'm not talking about with butter on it, you know what I mean? But these things tend to digest within 2 hours, so it's just lighter foods. Maybe a little bit of soup, you know, something like that, just something light that would not digest too, not take too long to digest.
What about nut butter on that Zweibach?
That's going to increase the time. Nuts usually take about 4 hours, so I think it's probably better to leave without the nut butter. Yeah.
Wait, I'm not going to eat that pasta. I'm not going to eat that Zweibach. They got to put something on it. I know they do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I personally, I mean, it snaps like a cracker. It's more of like a cracker. So not that that's my favorite.
Okay.
Just, I don't generally eat Zweibach. Just saying that's probably better than bread. Just regular bread.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk with me today. And I appreciate your counseling and your ministry. And I'm praying for you guys. And have a blessed day. Everybody on the line, happy preparation day. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. And, sis, it's Thursday, so preparation day is tomorrow.
Oh, you know I've been doing that all week. I have been doing that all week. I thought yesterday was Friday. I said, oh, I got to go home and get my Sabbath meal prepared. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, Sabbath to Sabbath, that's the way I'm focusing on living.
Well, listen, let me tell you all this. Thank you for that, sis. I appreciate that. Let me let you know that I'll be speaking at the Gospel Workers Free Seventh-day Adventist Church in District Heights, Maryland. It's at 2020 Ritchie Road. That's R-I-T-C-H-I-E, 2020 Ritchie Road, this coming Sabbath. So please feel free to come out. And on WhatsApp, I'll be posting the Zoom link. And I'll be posting also the Zoom link on Facebook. Now, for those of you who are on the call, I was looking at some of the previous information I had received from their pastor, and I was looking for the actual ID because everybody doesn't have the link. I don't actually see where it gives me that. He just gave me a link the last time. So I will look one more place. Okay, so this is what it appears. There's no password, it says. But you have the Zoom ID is 238-108-7547. So that's 238-108-7547. One more time, 238-108-7547. You can always contact me, but that's the Zoom ID. They say there's no password, so if you want to, get on Zoom, you'd have to just get on. I don't know that they have a call-in number. I apologize for that. I don't know that they do, so you might have to get on your computer. But you can always turn your camera off. You don't have to be seen. As a matter of fact, the way they have it set up, nobody is seen. They have their Zoom set up where nobody can be seen but the church presentation, so you don't have to worry about whether or not somebody sees you. All right, God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. It's time now for our closing prayer. I would ask my wife if she would close us out in prayer.
Yes. I just wanted to make one comment. When I was growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, one of the things we never did was do a collection of tithes and offerings. They always had what's known as a contribution box, and it was always in the vestibule of the church. And so that's where you could put your donations into. And the other thing is that you never had a tithing envelope. So nobody knew how much you were donating. You just put your money in, to put your check, but it was never where you get a contribution statement for tax purposes. None of that is ever, at least at that particular time when I was growing up, none of that was ever given. And so there's a church that we were visiting and used to speak at down in North Carolina, and they have a similar setup. They have a contribution box. They don't collect tithes. It's a Seventh-day Adventist church, and they don't collect tithes during the services. It's just out there. People want to be able to give a contribution, and it actually says contributions. And so if people want to give a contribution, they can do that. So it's not that this is a foreign thing. It's just it was new to me when I started attending church that they were collecting. I didn't even understand it because I had never been introduced to it. So I just want to mention that. So there are some religious faiths out there that do not do any type of tithe collection during the actual worship services. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to open up your word. And Lord, as we continue to study things out, may we remember that it is better to give than it is to receive. We ask that you will help us through your Holy Spirit to continue to grow in grace and in wisdom, helping us gaining knowledge and understanding so that we can share things with others. We pray that you will bless us this morning with special blessings of healing to be granted to us. We need spiritual healing. We need mental healing. We need physical healing, even emotional healing. There are so many of us that are going through different trials and tribulations right now, and we just need to be able to draw from you strength, and we need to be healed, and we need to be able to cast these burdens onto you and to leave them with you, knowing that you will work everything out in accordance with your perfect will. We thank you for letting us as your children know that we can come to your throne boldly, that we can cast upon our cares and knowing that our God has heard us and our God will soon deliver us. Thank you for all that you do for us. We love you. We cannot wait to be with you. We look forward to the time when we can have our face-to-face communication with our Heavenly King. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lambs with persecution in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.